Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to Awaken with Maria and Monica, which has become a pretty favorite show of my listeners. Good morning, Monica.
Good morning, Maria. How are you?
I'm doing good. And for new listeners, this is Monica Sepulveda. You can check her work out at Monica with two N's, MONNICA.com.
Right.
Doing okay. You know, we're looking at the crazy world and once again reminding people that the most important thing about being on this planet is living the path that we came here to live.
Yeah, and a lot of people have a hard time finding that.
Well, I think that a lot of people don't want to or don't know or realize that they pretty much have set up their timeline for what they wanted to achieve in this lifetime before they got here.
And I think a lot of that, Maria, is because we're overeducated and we use too much of the left brain and not enough of the right. And if we switch over, and I can show people how to do that very easily with a couple of really simple tips, you'll start to realize that you don't think of what your purpose is, you feel it.
Right.
And when you feel it, which is right brain intuition, then you know where you're going to go because you start to do what you would love to do, not what you think you have to do.
Right, and I think there's so many people that are doing what they think they have to do.
And that comes from parents, teachers, peer pressure, you got to do this, you got to do that. I mean, it's unbelievable how we cave and we don't listen because our left brain is overly educated. But that stuff, the left brain is all history. The right brain, if people understood that it gives us direction now, it gives us instruction now, it tells us what to do now. It is a beautiful thing to have activated, and people don't know how to do that. And this is one of the reasons why we do what we do, is because we use our right brain a lot more, which is our intuitive abilities and the abilities to communicate interdimensionally.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's amazing.
Right. Well, what do they say? Left-handed people are in their right mind.
When I'm left-handed.
So am I. There's another little thing we have in common.
I love it. You know, except I'm ambidextrous. The only thing I do with my left hand is write with my left hand. I do everything else with the right hand.
Well, that's good. So, to give them equal exercise.
Absolutely. You know, and back in the day, I remember that, you know, they tried to give me lefty scissors to cut left hand, and I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it.
Well, I try to tell people, you know, think about it. Everything in this world is created for right-handed people. And the fact that left-handed people can use all those instruments shows you that, you know, maybe maybe we got something going on there.
Oh, and back in the day, the nuns used to hit you with the ruler if you wrote with your left hand. I mean, it sounds ridiculous.
Well, because they used to say the devil was left-handed. So, as if the devil, A, exists, two, has hands. So, but I remember that, and, you know, everybody looking at us like we were freaks because we were left-handed. But luckily, they never tried to tie our hand behind us or any of that crap and force us to use our right hands.
Oh. It's insane. And, you know, I've got to tell you this. There's a couple of little things that the listeners can do right now, very quickly. Clasp your hands together and look to see which thumb is on top. And then write that down. Is the right thumb on top or is the left thumb on top? And once you've done that, then switch it and put the other one on top, and you'll see that it feels uncomfortable. It's not natural. Mm-hmm. That's one exercise. The second one is cross your arms. Which arm is on top? And write that down and try to cross your arms with the other one on top, and it's almost impossible to do. So once you have your answers to that, if the right thumb is on top, that means the left brain is dominating. If the left arm is on top, that means the right brain is dominating, which means you're using both hemispheres at the they're balanced. Now, if you have right and right for both of them, then you're clearly left brain. And the best way to activate the right brain is to actually, when you're like in line waiting to pay for groceries or anything, all you do is shift your weight over to the left side of your body to start activating the right, since it controls the left side of the body, or start picking things up with your left hand. Mm. And conversely, if you have the left thumb over and the left arm over, then you're using a lot of the right brain and not enough of the left brain, because you have to be sensible as well. If you're too right brain, there's an oversensitivity that's taking place.
Right.
And that's not good either, because then everything's taken personally. There's too much empathy, and that can pull you down, because empathy is a wonderful gift. But if there's too much of that, then that it causes almost suffering, because you can feel the pain of the world, you know?
Exactly.
You have to reel the stuff in.
Exactly.
So you can do that. You can, and then shift your weight over to the right side if you need more left brain. You know, it's just very simple exercises, but they work.
No, absolutely. Listen, that's all I teach is shortcuts and simple exercises.
Get right to the point. We don't have to do those long things that we did back in, when I was sitting in the late 60s and early 70s. It's like, we didn't have this kind of simple little test to do. They kind of came up later.
Right. Right.
We didn't have the information back then. We didn't have a lot of teachers. We didn't have any books. Books that I accumulated were all written in the early, 1900s, and I found them all scattered across the country. Nowadays, there's an overflow of information, which is, I remember, Maria, back in the late 60s, early 70s, I remember my teacher saying, someday in the future, in the next century, information is going to be so accessible, it's going to be so quick, and I'm thinking like, well, how is that going to happen?
Right. Meanwhile, instead of using the world that they have at their fingertips to actually educate, people want to post pictures of cats in their dinner. So it's really your intention. If you want to learn, there's plenty out there. It's interesting, because I was talking to a woman this morning before the show.
Uh-huh.
And, she was talking about how she told her kids basically the same thing, and said, when we were young, we had to go to the library, we had to do research, we had to go dig through books. I mean, you have everything right at your fingertips. Why not use that?
And, I kept all those books that were written in the early 1900s. They were the best.
They're
the best. Oh, my gosh. Florence Scovel Shinn, The Game of Life and How to Play It, The Power of the Spoken Word, The Secret Door to Success, Your Word is Your Wand. Those are my first books, and they were written in 1924,
mm-hmm.
1930s, and the last one was in the early 40s, and then she passed away. But now they've compiled all four of her books, and you can get the book called The Wisdom of Florence Scovel Shinn, S-H-I-N-N, on Amazon. And people sell their used books there. She'd get it for like a buck and a quarter.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Best material. It's still on my desk as the first book I ever read at age 16.
Wow. Well, good for you. I think I started out like a lot of people, just reading Edgar Cayce.
Oh, yeah. That was, I think, more in the 70s that I was reading those. But she was more, for me, it was 1967, 66, 67. And, sometimes when you're talking about your path, you get a calling right away. And some people have to look for them. I got a calling right away. I knew back in the day, in 1962, there was a television show called One Step Beyond. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, barely.
It was, and the host was John Newell, and he was creepy. But they were all true stories, metaphysical, spiritual, all true stories that people submitted about their experiences, and then they played them out in episodes. You can still buy, now they have them on DVD, you can still buy them. And they were so good, and stories of telepathy and stuff, and I'd watch them with my dad, and I'd say, I want to do that someday. And here I am, 10 years old, 11 years old, I want to do that someday. I want to be able to talk with my mind. So it's interesting that when you have a calling like this, like you and I have, it comes to us at a pretty early age. Regardless of what your left brain thinks, I wanted to be a translator at the UN. Yeah, right. The only thing I'm translating now is information from the other side.
Right. Well, you are translating.
So, interpreting.
Be careful what you ask for. You never know how it's going to show up.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So finding your purpose is something that is felt. You have to feel it. And I first got, the thought about that when Walt Disney, of all people, said that do what you love to do with your time, that you could do it all day long for 10, 12 hours, and it's fun. He used to like to draw cartoons like the mouse.
Mm-hmm.
Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, you know. Donald Duck knows it. Daffy Duck, I don't know which is the one.
Donald Duck.
It's Donald Duck. Okay, there's Daffy Duck and Donald Duck. Okay, one is Merry Melodies and the other one is Disney. Anyway, he used to love to do that, and he started putting, drawing cartoons, and that's how he started.
Right, well, you know, there's a great movie about Walt Disney and how he started. I watched it, I don't know, maybe a year ago. And it was pretty fascinating. I don't remember what the name. It might have been Disney and Company or something like that. But it was pretty interesting when you look at how some people have a dogged determination to succeed at what they love.
Yeah, and that's the key word is what you love. And that's what he said to do is whatever it is that you love to do. Follow that path, not what you think.
I know, because a lot of my friends, you know, we'll all just sit around talking about crazy stuff. And they'll be all, you know, if you were super rich, what would you be doing? And I just look at them and I say, I'd be doing the same exact thing I'm doing now.
Exactly.
If and I didn't like doing what I do, I stop.
Right. Exactly. You know, like I was inspired about a month ago to start writing a book. And I thought, well, you know, let me give this title to my friend David Icke, you know, our friend David. And he said, no, I wouldn't be writing that book for a long time. And then my spirit guide said, write it yourself, Monica. So I started. I'm on chapter 8.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, why not me, right? I've never written before, but man, it's coming out really good because it's inspired.
Good. You That's know,
again,
great.
It's very right brain. But I also ask kids, you know, that are don't know what to do, what to major. And I go, wait a minute. If your life was a perfect 10, what would you be doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just let me wave a magic wand and your life is a perfect 10. Describe it to me. What are you doing?
Right.
And this takes them out of that left brain and they go in to start imagining instead.
Right.
You know, for people that have trouble imagining, do you remember we used to create vision boards back in the day?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Vision boards really help people that have difficulty with visualization. Because not everybody's visual. Some people are auditory. Some people are kinesthetic.
Exactly. But listen, I just tell people, you know, you have a good way of saying it, but I will tell people, you know, if time and money weren't an issue, what would you be doing?
I love that. Now, that's really good for people that are more adults, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I ask this for teenagers. I ask them that question to teenagers. Because sometimes these kids, they want to do something like, I want to be able to design, you know, and yet their parents are pressuring them to become an accountant or an attorney or whatever.
Right.
No, I want to be a designer, you know. And when you look at the numerology and their numbers, it's like the numbers that are like 3, 6, and 9, those are the ones that are the most creative and the most about helping people and healing. And no, numbers is number 8, number 7, you know, and it's like, no. And then the actor number is like the number 5. They need projects all the time. So you have to look at these things. The numerology, if you total your month, day, and year of your birth and you, you know, reduce it to a single digit, that'll tell you what your purpose is. That's your birth force. So that's really interesting. That's why I love numbers so much, you know.
And
I'm right brain. But numerology is easy. There's a great book called Numerology, The Romance in Your Name by Juno Jordan, J-O-R-D-A-N. She's passed on, but when I got her book back in the early 80s, she was, I think, 82 at the time. So her book is the easiest to follow. It's the most accurate. And she has a companion book called Your Great Action Number, Your Right Action Number, excuse me. And that you need to get both of those.
Well, that's interesting really, that you say that because, you know, this weekend my younger granddaughter turned 21. And ever since she was a little girl, she wanted to be a tattoo artist. I mean, the girl is a fabulous artist. And here it is, you know, a lot of people telling her, you know, through her life that it was a bad idea. You're never going to make money at it. This, she never lost sight of her vision. She hung in there for 2 years apprenticing, even though she was dead broke going through her apprenticeship. But today she's a tattoo artist. She never lost sight of what she wanted to do. And I encouraged her the whole way. And I told her how proud I am of her for having that kind of determination.
And what's in trend right now? Tattooing. You see it everywhere. Everyone's getting tattoos. Talk about foresight. You know what I mean? She saw in advance. And the time has come. I mean, this is so popular right now that there's television shows about it.
I know. It's crazy. She saw, when are you going to get a tattoo? I said, never.
I thought of one. I wanted to do the symbol of Om because it's so beautiful.
All right.
But I chickened out.
Well, every body part I told her I wanted to put a symbol on, she says, Grandma, that's a really painful part. So
exactly.
So then I was like, okay, I'll just use the Sharpie and draw it myself. And then when it wears off, the hell with it.
That's hilarious. Yeah. Or get one of those little transfer things that lasts for like a day.
Right. When we were kids, you had those stick-on tattoos. You just licked it and slapped it on your arm and peeled it off.
Oh, yeah.
Monica, absolutely. We got a bunch of questions from listeners, and I will tell you that I'm very pleased with the response from the audience, not just on this show, but also the shows I've been doing with Michael Rakia.
Good.
And it just shows that the spiritual shows are still where it's at 20 years later, okay? Because these are the shows that give people directions and some hope and real reality. So I don't know if you want to get started on these questions or not.
Honey, it's your show. You tell me
okay.
what to do.
Okay. Well, first I have to say, Rebecca says hello. She wanted me to tell you that.
Hello.
And this is a lady that I believe probably listens to the show through Gary Null's network. And she missed the cutoff last month by a day. So she was very sad. So I saved her. I saved her question because that's what I do. Okay.
Aww.
Her name is Marilyn. Her date of birth is October 10th, 1956.
Okay.
And she's got a three-part question. When am I going to be financially stable to assist other people? Why do I always have people at every job I had disliking me before they get to know me? And do you see someone entering my life?
Oh, my gosh. So she wants the reading.
She wants a whole reading. So if you don't want to take one question, that's fine. If you want a real reading, that's what we do for a living. Okay. I'm certainly not getting rich on this show. Okay.
Okay. So 10-10-1956, right?
Right.
Okay. So that would be 6-3-4-5. Okay. All right. She's got to say, I'm going to use her birthday, and I'm going to give her that kind of reading.
Okay.
First of all, she's in a 7-year right now, which means it's very important for her to lay the foundation in order to make more money. I feel with her that she is in struggle mentality most of the time. Even though I feel that she's very good at what she does, this woman should have been in her own business a long time ago, but it looks like something undermined her, perhaps her own confidence. Had she been in her own business, she would have thrived. With respect to her countenance and why people don't like her, she needs to smile more and be the first to extend herself. Hi, my name is so-and-so, and how are you? It's good to meet you. She's got to be the initiator. And the feeling I'm getting about that is a lot of times she's in her head, and I think that there's a component of being shy sometimes with new environments and new people, so she needs to really get out of herself. She's in herself too much. And that's what causes her to have a particular look on her face that doesn't make her approachable or makes her look aloof. So I want to say, you know what? Get out of struggle mentality. Start looking at the fact that you are deserving. The question that she wrote was kind of interesting about making enough money to help other people, because I think we have to help ourselves first. And once we, you know, you cannot give to others if you're an empty vessel.
Absolutely.
You can't. You got to take care of yourself first, and then there's more enough to give to others. So my feeling is that she might have an old belief system that taking care of the self is selfish. No, it's necessary. So she's got to make a lot of tweaks in her life and make some internal changes, and then things are going to start to flow for her. But this is the year to do it. She's in a 7-year, and this is where you lay the foundation for more money. So start getting creative. Get out of your head. Get rid of those old tapes from the past and watch what happens.
Pretty good. Well, maybe I'll chime in with my two cents too now, because we do see the same thing, but in different ways.
Yeah.
I do see that she's got good money opportunities coming in this year, starting in about 3 or 4 months.
Okay.
And the reason that she gets this flack from people that don't know her is she comes across very intelligent and very professional, which is threatening to a lot of people on the job. It's like they can already look at her and see that she's more knowledgeable and better at it than they are. So I agree with you. She needs to be the one to diffuse the situation by approaching people first, because she does come off a little unapproachable.
Aloof.
Right.
That's how they interpret it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's their problem, though, isn't it?
It is. But we also have to understand that not everybody's like us, you know? And it just be warm. When you smile, that actually opens your heart, and people feel that. Because people assess people within the first 7 seconds of meeting them. Before they even open their mouth, they've assessed you.
Right. I agree. They judge you on all kinds of terms. I've gone through that myself, you know.
I'm sure, Maria, you're one powerful lady.
I guess I'll keep going through it myself.
I don't want to cross your path in a bad way, you know what I mean?
The only difference is I don't care, and I never did care about what other people thought of me. So.
Yeah, I mean, what that can come across as being like, you know.
Listen, I'm very friendly, too, if people give me a shot, but I'm not going to go, you know, lower myself to beg somebody to talk to me.
You remember how intimidated I was not to contact you, remember?
I know, and I couldn't even understand that, especially since David suggested it.
Until I asked David, he goes, no, contact her. So I did, and I was like, oh, she responded.
What a surprise. Well, you know, every time somebody subscribes to my show or sends me a note, I answer it. And they're like, they must think I have a team of people taking care of all this for me. And they get surprised that I actually answer them. And I'm like, why not? I'm a person just like you. I'm not Oprah. I don't have 500 people working for me.
Right. I don't either.
And it's just good manners. Anyway, I have some more questions. You ready to pay attention to this one?
Uh-huh.
Okay, this one's from Louise, November 3rd, 1969. She says, I've been feeling malaise for the last 3 weeks or so. After years of chaos in my life, everything has settled down, and now I'm struggling with the calm. I wonder if the universe has benched me in readiness for a new spiritual experience.
You know what I want to say to that? Duh. And that's not being disrespectful. I'm saying that this woman has got a lot of talent in her life, and I'm glad that the chaos is behind her, but I would like her to answer a question, ask herself, and give herself the answer. What did you learn from that chaos?
Mm-hmm.
Now, because the thing is that there's nothing lost unless we lose the lesson. So things don't happen to us, they happen for us. Mm-hmm. And if people start looking at that particular little phrase, you'll start to get, oh, so that's what it happened. It happened for me so I could do this, so I could do that, so I can adjust on the inside, because we create our world. Mm-hmm. We're co-creators. So if we see that the world is reflecting back to us where we need to make changes on the inside, we can change it because we created it in the first place. Chaos didn't happen to her, it happened for her. So my feeling is this, the calm for some people feels boring because they're so used to drama that became their normal. And so what I see for her, and at this point in time, I feel that, you know, this is a lady who's got writing within her. That's what came to my mind. She's a good communicator and a good writer. I just feel like right now she's upping her frequency. In other words, like Einstein said, life is energy, and that's all there is. Raise your vibratorial frequency to match that which you want, and you shall have it. This is not a philosophy. This is physics.
Mm-hmm.
So if she wants something in her life, she can't be at a low frequency and expect to get it back. That would be as stupid as looking in the mirror with a frown on your face expecting a reflection to smile back. That ain't going to happen. So my feeling with her is that she needs to embrace what's happening now, and from that she'll be led to the next thing.
Right. Well, one thing I have found through the years, because it happens to me too, where you feel like you've just been stopped, everything just stops.
Mm-hmm.
And what I realized after it's happened enough times is that that's usually preparing you for something coming that's big. And you need that break. You need that rest. You need to regroup. But when I'm looking at Louise's timeline, what I see is somewhere along the line, she's forgotten to have fun. She's forgotten to enjoy her life, go out dancing, be with friends, laugh. But all that looks like it's going to start to change as early as next month. So she just needs to hang in there and be patient.
And have fun, like you said, because having fun, laughing, and music, they all raise your vibratorial frequency.
Right.
They're healers. And so we need to, you know, when I got that message back in 1987, I remember it so clear that it was 1987 because I wasn't having fun. my spirit guide said, you need to laugh more. And I said, like what? Laugh at, just laugh? They said, no, watch something funny on TV. And I got hooked on the Golden Girls because they cracked me up.
Right. It was a great show.
It was
show.
So funny. And then there was Seinfeld. And so I was addicted to those because I was laughing constantly. And I realized, wow, this is making me feel good. And that's the whole key. If it makes you feel good, then it's right. If you're feeling bad, then your vibratory frequency is too low. And don't be afraid to ask your loved ones on the other side to send you some peace and harmony and some good energy, because that'll also raise our frequency. It just happened to me yesterday. I woke up sad, and I said, Daddy, I need some peaceful energy. And within about 10 minutes, I felt it, and it was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So we can ask for that as well. You know, we have helpers everywhere.
Exactly. Remember that, ask and you shall receive. But be careful what you ask for, because you will receive.
Oh my God, I remember Wayne Dyer. Do you remember Wayne Dyer?
Oh, yeah. He was great.
I went to one of his lectures, and he said, but if you want a Mercedes, make sure you see yourself in the car, or your next door neighbor will get it.
Right. Well, you know, it's important. You know, I agree. But, you know, talking about fun, it's crazy because I remember, I don't know, it must have been about 20 years ago, Monica, and I was doing a speaking tour through the Southwest. And I remember standing in front of this one group, and I think we were in, New Mexico. And I get up in front of the room, and there's, you know, they all looked like they were pretty affluent people and, you know, happy enough. And as soon as I got on the stage, you know, being a New Yorker with my New York wit, I just looked at the audience, and the first thing I said to them was, very slowly, F you. And then I waited. you should have seen the looks on the face. It was the immediate shock value. And then I slowly added, N, have you had any lately?
Oh my God, that's hilarious. I love it.
And when I asked them, you know, when's the last time you had fun? First of all, almost no one raised their hand. And when I asked them if they even remember what fun is, they had no idea.
Wow, that's an interesting observation. That's so telling. You know, it was, when you tell that story, my mother raised me, you know, like, my mother only went to the eighth grade, but she's the wisest woman in the world, very intuitive herself. And she said, make sure you give people electric shocks because they need to wake up. And that's exactly what you did. Later on, when I studied neurolinguistics, and I'm certified in neurolinguistics, they call it a pattern interrupt. So you interrupted their pattern neurologically by throwing them something that shocked them, mm-hmm. you know, and then you got their attention. And that is brilliant.
Right. And I remember, you know, altering that, where sometimes I'd have a whiteboard and I would just draw on the whiteboard as they walk in the room. One of the seven dwarfs, and I would write, happy isn't just one of the seven dwarfs.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, hey, as you know, I'm good for shock value.
Yeah, oh gosh, of course, are you kidding me? That's a wonderful gift that you have, you know?
Well, look, whatever it takes to wake people up, I'll try it all.
You give them an electric shock, that's what my mom said.
That's why I'm a shockaroo. All right, yeah. The next question is from Patricia.
Yes.
Let's see. I don't even know if I got her birth. I got two people on top of the other, so I'm trying to figure out whose birthday's who. I don't think this is Pat's birthday.
I can do it without the birthday.
Okay. She said, when we have dreams and there are people in those dreams we don't know, where do they come from? She said, I understand having dreams with people and animals that are in our lives, but vivid dreams with people we don't presently have in our lives always seems confusing.
Okay, this is easy to delineate. People that we don't recognize, what you have to do is you have to look at their demeanor. Are they nice? Are they threatening? Are you scared of them? Are they people that are kind? You have to look at their demeanor, because what they do is everything in a dream represents us. So there's an aspect that's trying to show itself to you about yourself. So that's why you don't recognize them at all, because they're actually just aspects of the self, and they're coming in life form, because people can understand when they see a picture of a person or they get a dream of a person, as opposed to just feelings, or, you know what I mean? It's easier to, like, when people think about God, religion says it's a man when it's not. It's actually an energy, but it's easier to interpret or to, you know, to see like a person. But when you become more evolved, you realize it's a force of energy that's pure love. But it's hard to connect with that for some people. So they have to have avatars and people that incarnated and, you know, so they can envision something. So people in dreams that you don't recognize are actually aspects of yourself. Now, if they ask, if that person was aggressive and intimidating, you might want to look inside to see where you can change that, because it's probably existing. Mm-hmm. If you're easily feared by something, perhaps there's some cowardice within and you're not facing something. If there's kindness and generosity and warmth and love, that's also telling you who you are. Or if it comes at the last part of a dream, mm-hmm. that's the solution for you. It depends on where it's placed, because dreams are divided into three parts.
Right.
The beginning, the middle, and the ending, right? The middle, the beginning is the genesis of where something started, a particular pattern or belief system. The middle is how it's manifesting now, and the end is the end result. So it depends on where that person came in the dream.
Right. Well, you know, I've done dream work for a long time, and I do agree that everybody in your dream is a reflection of yourself, but I also know there are multiple layers in dreams. For myself,
absolutely.
I know when I'm dreaming, there's a lot of people in my dreams that are not here in this waking reality or my present life, but I do know that I know those people. Okay, so sometimes you could be having an out-of-body and actually visiting home or another time and space where you know the people that are there.
Clearly, clearly, because there's precognitive dreams, there's out-of-body experiences, meeting people from past lives, meeting family members that you didn't know, but you know that you're connected. I mean, there's just, you're absolutely correct.
Right, and for me, sometimes I wake up and it's like, where are those people? Do you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
You wake up and you kind of miss it, do you know? You're like, oh no,
yeah.
I'm back here. Oh, with this crowd of people, okay.
Yeah, and it's perhaps because of the way they made you feel and how they interacted in your life. So you do have to be careful, you know, and know how to interpret something, because there are different categories. Even nightmares are really, really good for people, because those are the people that probably say that I don't dream at night.
Right.
So let me throw you a nightmare so you can remember this information, because it's necessary for you to know. Dreams are always helping us.
Oh, yeah, spirit will get your attention one way or the other.
Oh, yeah, you get the shock value when you have a nightmare, that's for sure.
Right. Monica, you and I are going to take a little break. Everybody stay with us. We will be right back. Hi, this is Maria. I don't often get to talk directly to the listeners here on the Gary Null Network, but I felt like doing that today. I know a lot of you really enjoy my show, but you might not know that I do 4 shows a week over at my website, maria.net. So if you're loving the show you get to hear on Sunday, come on over to my site and subscribe, because I've got hundreds of hours of great shows on pretty much every topic in the universe. And that again is maria.net, M-E-R-I-A.net. And now we can get back to this excellent show. Thanks. Welcome back to Awaken with Maria and Monica. I hope you guys are enjoying the show. As you can tell, we are. So, and I love that people comment on our show that they can see that we enjoy it, and they enjoy it as much as we do.
Yeah.
You know, because whether it's their question or not, you know, I know that these questions, the answers are information everybody could use.
That's absolutely, for me, the outcome of this show is for, you know, people to get their questions answered, but also to learn something to help your life. So it actually appeals to everyone, because we have a wealth of information from so many years. And sharing our anecdotes is not about being selfish or focusing on me, me, me. It's about telling you the experiences that we've had based on the things that we're teaching.
Right. Well, listen, all my students tell me it's my stories that they'll remember the most.
Yeah. Point made.
Right. So I actually performed a wedding this weekend, and one of my students came up to me and said, oh, I've been sharing the stories you told me about this, that, and the other thing with other people. They're so anxious to meet you. So it is, you know, listen, storytelling through the ages has been the main way that education's been passed down, lore's been passed down.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, too, because when I started writing my book, I asked David, I said, should I add my, you know, personal stories? Because I have lots and lots of anecdotes, lots of stories to share based on what I'm writing about. And he says, Yes, you have to, because it gives the book life.
Right. That's what people seem to like the best, for sure.
Yes. And it really feels good because the memories that are coming up, Maria, my gosh.
Oh, I'm sure. Everybody's all, write your life story. I'm like, well, I said I've lived my life in dog years. It would take me 80 years just to write it. Okay, let's get on to the next one. This is from LM.
LM, male or female?
Female, yeah. I think. Female.
Okay.
12-12-61.
Oh, wow.
I know. She says, okay. I recently got involved with a club, and I pretty much got chewed up and spit out. Because I stepped up to serve but didn't anticipate the hostility, maybe I'm too sensitive, but I'm wondering what I need to take away from that experience.
Well, the thing is, she just answered her own question. She's too sensitive. The sensitive numbers in numerology are 3, 6, and 9, and she's got a double 3, 12, 12.
Mm-hmm.
Because 1 plus 2 equals 3. Her birthday is the 12th, that equals a 3. And then, you know, 1960, what year?
61,
so that's 6, 7, 8. 8 and 6, 14 is 5. Okay, yeah, so initially she will respond and she'd be overly sensitive about it. I think the key is, with a person like her, she's a healer. She's a person who is here to help other people and bring them comfort. So when she doesn't receive that from others, that means she has to give it to herself. And as you know, my work is solution-oriented intuitive therapy, which means I look to see what prevents people from getting what they want, and this is what they have to do to change it, and then they'll get it.
Mm-hmm.
So my work is really specialized, and I hone in on what is blocking her. So, and I do that with everybody. So, and then after that, I do the predictions, you know, and you hone in right on the predictions and give you your input about, okay, this is in the way or whatever. And I like the way we work together. So my sense is that she answered her own question, and what she needs, what's the second part of her question? Sorry.
She said, maybe I'm too sensitive, but I'm wondering what I need to really take away from this experience.
Okay. I would say, A, let it go. Number two, make the shift within yourself to become a little bit more resilient or a little bit tougher. And just say, you know what, I don't need to take this personally because it's really not about me. It's about other people. And I'm going to do the best I can just to be who I am. And that's a very loving, giving person because she is.
Right.
So my feeling is she needs to give herself a little bit more credit and not take things so personally. And, you know, it's like a lot of people are afraid to say no. But no doesn't need an explanation. It's just no. So I would say here, set boundaries.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I tell people no is a complete sentence.
Yes.
You know, I don't know why so many people have to think they have to explain their no, whether it's to their children, their partners, their friends, their bosses. No is no.
It's a level of insecurity of not feeling sure enough about yourself, you know, and a lot of that comes from upbringing. So a person becomes insecure and they feel like they have to explain stuff. Well, when I used to be one of those people pleasers,
mm-hmm.
when I realized what a lose-lose strategy that is, I just started saying no. My mother's the one that say, why do you keep saying yes? Say no to them, you know? Like my aunts always took advantage of me. My mother said, just tell those bitches to, you know, like
right.
go to hell.
Right.
My mother gave me permission to tell my aunts to like go to hell.
Well, I did it in reverse. I gave my mother permission to tell her sisters to go to hell.
Oh, I, I think you were an adult when you were 10 years old.
I guess so. But, you know, I'm looking at her timeline to see, you know, how in tune you and I are. And the first thing, of course, I got was walk away. Walk away. Mm-hmm. Don't look back. Keep moving.
Exactly.
And when I look at that,
you gotta let it go, but take the lesson from it.
Well, when I look at that group or club or whatever that she was interested in, it was very cliquish and very secretive. So it wasn't what she thought it was. So she needs to forgive herself and move on.
Yeah, but and then also, on the other hand, she has to also look at the fact that she created that scenario for the purpose of learning how to be tougher.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
it was actually worthwhile. If she looks at it as a victim, then she's not going to get it. Remember, it didn't happen to her. It happened for her. So she has to look at this as an opportunity to learn and to become stronger. So therefore, it was a good thing. And all you do is move forward from there and attract the next best thing for you.
Right.
So, I mean, we come here to learn, don't we?
Absolutely. And I just said that to a client this morning before the show. I said, listen, you know, challenges in life are what helps us grow. I said, we're not growing when everything's going well.
Oh, we stagnate. Oh, my gosh. Been there, done that.
All right. So you talk about getting benched. You'll get benched for sure. I really like that expression. I'll be keeping it.
I love it.
All right. Yeah, now we have one from one of your YouTube fans, Janice. Her date of birth is May 2nd, 1952. And she says that she's been watching your YouTube lessons. She did the guided meditation with you, the second lesson on laboratory.
That's a great one.
Yeah, she said, the following day, I repeated it during my meditation time and asked for my team to come in. Wow, I was overwhelmed with the sensation of love. Tears flowed. She said she'd like more insight as to what is her soul's divine mission and where and how, where, when, and how she'll meet the love of the rest of her life.
Oh, she wants the reading too, huh? Hey, you guys, you know what? Sometimes you have to book a session because I'm not one that gives like really like, you know, quick answers. I can give them on the show because of that. But it sounds to me that she needs, it takes a long time to get all this information out. And I'm not just saying that to solicit business. I'm just saying that because we want to serve you the best way we can. And it's kind of a disservice if we give you a lot of quick answers. So if you just ask one question, I think that that would be better for us. Thank you so much for complimenting the process of creating your mental laboratory. I think that, you know, which one do you want to take? Do you want to take the love life one? Do you want to take the purpose?
I would say the, how about you go with her soul's divine mission? That's May 2nd, 1952.
Okay, so 1952 is a 7. May 2nd, 7th, and 14th is 5. Okay, so her birthday totals to a 5, which means that she can get scattered very easily because 5 people get very restless, and so they can do a whole bit, you know, like, what's that called when you're able to do a lot of things but you're master of none? What's that quote?
Oh, God.
You know what's what I'm talking about.
I do know what
Jack of all trades, right. Master of none. Okay, and so it tends to scatter. So what's interesting to me, though, is that, you know, the number 7, her birthday is a 5-2, and her birth year is also a 7. And what happens is that a person with that has an interest in logical and also spiritual. So there can be an internal tug-of-war. Should I do what I think? Should I do what I feel? Should I do what I think? Should I do what I feel? So it keeps them going back and forth. Just don't go into writing lists of pros and cons. Go back to what you're feeling. And with her, because she's a very intelligent woman, but she's also pretty spiritual, too. And I think she needs to lean a little bit more on the spiritual. Her path in this lifetime is whatever she wants to do. And she's going to have to feel that answer because I can't give it to her. Again, the third pinnacle for her is a 5, which, again, can scatter. And because her challenges are 2s, the 2s are everywhere, that means that she has to learn to balance her life first. Okay, take care of you and then take care of others. Okay, and now how does that feel? That makes you think clearly and it gives you your answer right away. So with her, it's pretty hard for me to give her a pat answer of what she should do because it takes me longer to get that information.
Right,
you know? So
right.
I can't give her that.
Right.
And with respect to where she is right now, I don't think this is the year for her to meet anybody. I see it in 2019.
I do too. It's very interesting. Because I don't see it this year. I do see it next year.
Next year.
Right. But, you know, I pick up the 2s around her too. And 2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2- is all about decisions. And there are a lot of people who have a hard time making decisions. They don't have a problem with choices. They have a problem making decisions, always second-guessing themselves.
Good point. Good point. And the number two, also, if you think about the scales of justice, there's two sides. The key for that is to keep them balanced. And a lot of times when we're going back and forth, you know, it's tilting in one direction and then the other direction, and then we can't find that balance. That is, seems to be really true with Libra people, since their sign is represented by the scale of justice, which is an inanimate object. You know, every single sign in the zodiac has a living creature that represents. I'm the ram, and Sagittarius is the horse with the person, right?
Right.
Yeah, but the Libra, theirs is a scale, so that means that they need other people to help them balance. So seeking out this kind of question is appropriate for her, and also learning on her own. I don't know why I want to say this, but I have a feeling that this woman should do some chanting, which means Buddhism.
Well, that's, listen, we only give what we get. What people do with it is their own business, so if chanting resonates with her, she'll do it.
Now, if she doesn't want to do it, the one cool thing that's available these days, thank you to technology and YouTube, I have to say, is that you can actually go to YouTube and type in Buddhist chant or Om Mani Padme Hum or Ani Yodi Bhave. You can type in any chant, Tibetan chant. Let it play in the background while you're busy doing things around your home or actually surfing the net or reading your email. And listening to those chants are going to do the same thing as if you said them yourself.
All right. Well, you know, that's interesting you brought that up. You brought a memory back to me. When my first granddaughter was born, and she couldn't have been more than, you know, just a couple of months old. You know how babies cry and you got to try to find a way to calm them down and soothe them. And it was at the same time I was studying and reading a lot about Sai Baba. So I had bought some CDs of Sai Baba's group chanting, you know, all those chants that you just mentioned. And believe it or not, that was what put her to sleep.
See, that's brilliant for these new mothers that are listening and have the same thing. Yeah, those chants really calm us down because they work neurologically. You know, since I studied the neurology, I know how to rewire the brain. And when you have that kind of repetitive tones that have been done for hundreds and thousands of years, they have power. So my feeling is that's why incantations work and you know, people that study witchcraft and stuff, because it's been done so many times that it actually has a lot of power. Hey, did you know this? I don't know if a lot of people don't know this. There are women all over the world that are doing white magic to sabotage Trump's ideas of what he's doing, which is why he's failed so much and there's nothing but scandal in his life and there's a lot of, you know, he gets exposed very quickly, but they do it every Friday night.
Well, good for them. I'm no complaints about that.
But, no,
but
I
listen,
know.
But the point is everything is sound and vibration. And you can change your vibration through, you know, recognizing your own body's tone, your own sound. What's your sound vibration?
Oh, and we each have one, too. And if you don't know what your sound vibration is, you can ask for the color, because sound and color vibrate at the same frequencies. So what I used to do, and this is what I did, I didn't even know this information, Maria, but when I was younger, I would ask, let's say if I wanted a guy to be interested in me when I was in high school, I'd say, what's his color? What's his color? And then it would show up in my mind, and I knew that that color was his frequency, and I would look at that color, and then I'd look at his face, and I would talk to him, and I'd say, hey, you know, I'm kind of, like, crushing on you. You know, I'd like to meet you. And sure enough, it would happen, you know, and I thought, okay, so each person has their own color. Which is what you're saying. Each person has their own sound.
Absolutely. But, you know,
so, I mean, I love that. But you don't want to manipulate with it because that's not good either. It's bad karma.
No. But listen, I have done a primal scream every now and then.
Yeah, me too. I go to the ocean and I scream.
I remember going to trying to find a uninhabited spot in Sedona years ago when my sister died because I needed to release. And let me tell you, I let out the most guttural primal scream that I think the forest had ever heard.
Oh, and they probably gave you back love.
I felt great after that.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, they did. The mountains love me.
Yeah.
So
I live by the
right
ocean,
space.
And that's where I get mine, you know.
Right. But, you know, everybody, and it's not... putting anybody down for their questions. Believe me, I appreciate all your questions. And even though as many times as people think their problems are unique, they're really not. But everybody seems to, when am I going to meet the true love of my life? And my answer is always the same. Look in the mirror.
Look in the mirror. I was just going to say the same words. Look in the mirror. That's where it is. Because that's where it starts. And however we treat ourselves, we attract the opposite sex or the same sex, whatever, to mirror back to us where we need to make some changes. So even bad experiences are good experiences because we have to, like, let's take a woman, for instance, that has, attracted abusive men. Where is she abusing herself? What is she telling herself about herself? And when she realizes that she puts herself down or that she's mean to herself or she criticizes and judges herself and her self-esteem doesn't feel worthy of and she thinks that a man completes her, oh, is that a joke or what? I can't stand that line from that movie.
Right.
You complete me. Oh. Anyway, when we have a healthy relationship with the self, then we know that we deserve the very best and that's when we start to create. But if you've come off of an abusive relationship and you haven't healed that stuff yet and realized that it came from us,
right,
then we will attract another one with a different name and a different face.
Absolutely. You know, I had that discussion, a similar discussion with a man at my gym last week. He likes to chit-chat with me. And we started talking about dating and people that are attracted to each other and whatnot. And I remembered and I told him, I says, you know, years ago, and I don't even remember how many years, Monica, it might have been 30 years ago, Cosmo magazine did a poll about what people found most sexually attractive in other people. And the number one thing that they came out with was, do you have any idea?
Well, I mean, I know what my criteria is, values.
Right. Well, Cosmo said the number one aphrodisiac was self-confidence.
Oh, yeah, I would agree with that.
So if you don't portray a confident being when you're out and about, you know, a bird with a broken wing can only attract another bird with a broken wing.
Broken wing, exactly. But you know, there's a lot of women that make this mistake. They put a man on a pedestal and they underestimate themselves. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Women are actually the stronger sex, so they have to be worthy of us, not the other way around. And a lot of people are still used to being raised the old-fashioned way. You know, if a man conquers you, oh, look how lucky I am. No. So I always tell women, look, after my work, 46 years in May, it'll be 46 years since I started my counseling. And what I found consistently through the years that the couples that have the longest relationships have the same character traits and values. Those character traits are pretty much six or seven things. Honesty, respect, friendship, good communication, loyalty, and similar belief systems with respect to spirituality.
Absolutely.
Now, mine goes to seven because I love animals so much that they must also love animals, too. So right. It's not about having things in common, such as hobbies. That doesn't keep a relationship together. It's the values.
Mm-hmm.
And there's three questions you can ask a person, and within 5 minutes, you'll know their values.
Well,
it's pretty interesting.
It kind of reminds you of back in the day when parents picked your partner for you. And those people sometimes never even knew each other before they got married. But because they came from the same place, the same neighborhood, the same ethnicity, the same religion, the same programming, they knew that these people would last together because they had those characteristics in common.
Yeah, the character traits and the values are similar.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that we should go back to picking our kids' partners.
No.
But
no,
there's something to be said for the fact when people used to say, I learned to love him, I learned to love her. Because love is not something that's instantaneous. It comes with time.
Yeah, and you fall deep into it, into the heart, you know. So it's not, some people can't get there because they're too shallow. But I just want to say something. Is it okay with you if I give the people the three questions to ask if you want to ask, if you want to figure out within 5 minutes whether that person is good for you or not?
Sure.
Okay, we have time. All right. So here's the three questions, because you want to find out if they have those character traits, and they'll never know that you're eliciting that information with these three questions because they're so benign. First one, do you have a lot of friends? If they say, yes, I have friendships that go way back and we get together and we do things, that's a very healthy sign, because you know that they're not going to betray their friend. They're not going to lie to them. They're not going to backstab. They're going to respect them. They're going to have good conversations. They're going to do things together. They're going to be friends and that gives you basically the first five. If they tell you, no, I'm kind of a loner, that's kind of suspect because, you know, like, I am alone a lot, but I have friendships that go back to when I was age 19.
Right.
You know, And so the longevity, those ones are really, really important, you know. And so it shows that I'm loyal. And so anyway, the second question is, what's been the most difficult thing that you've ever been through in life, and how did you resolve it? Now, if they're blamers and they name call and stuff, that's a bad sign, because eventually they'll be calling you names. So they're acting as victims. If they're people that say, okay, this is what happened and this is what I did to overcome it and it turned out great, that's a problem solver. It lets you know that they understand the concept of karma, you know, cause and effect, about, you know, how to behave and how to handle things. Problem solvers are great. And the third question is, what is it from your past relationship that you learned that you're not going to do, that you're going to do differently in a new relationship? Now, if they start calling her all kinds of names, or calling him all kinds of names, right, and they play the victim and that asshole cheated on me, that's a bad sign, because it lets you know that they didn't grow from it at all. They're still blaming and they're living in the past. If they give you an answer such as, well, you know, we parted company, we're friends, and we just are now on different paths, and there's nothing wrong with that, that's a healthy answer. Those are three questions you can ask. You can learn everything about their character in 5 minutes.
That's great. Good to know.
And yeah, because normally it takes about 6 to 8 months to get to know a person, because everybody's on their best behavior.
Hey, look, I think I had over 30 questions listed in my relationship book. So cut to the chase for sure.
Yeah, because you get truthfully, right to the
character. Well, yeah. I mean, if people were honest with themselves, they would realize, even in their bad relationships, that probably on the first date their intuition was saying this isn't the one, but they went with it anyway.
Yes. And there are some lessons to learn about that. So,
that's for sure. But know. Monica, we're out of time, believe it or not.
Oh, no.
I know. I know. But I look forward to talking with you again next month.
Me too. Maria, thank you so much for this. And to all the listeners, thank you for your questions. And I hope that you got a little nugget out of this show that you can take away with you, or a few nuggets. And I appreciate this.
Great. You take good care. We'll talk soon, Moni.
Okay. Bye, hon.
Bye. Monica Sepulveda. Check her out at monica.com. And listen, everything we said about women is also true about men. And even though we all think we're unique, our human problems are all pretty much very similar. Anyway, thanks for supporting the show. Get your friends to turn on to the show and support it. It really is the only support the show gets. As you can see, there's no ads, advertisements. I'm not selling you snake oil, this and that. Anyway, I'll be back on Thursday with the news, and I'll see you guys then.
Thank you for listening and supporting The Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.